We start then with breaking news from Sri Lanka, where protesters in the capital Colombo have stormed the official residence of President Gotabaya Rajapaksa, demanding his resignation. Demonstrators from around the country have converged on the capital. They're protesting against the months-long economic crisis and widespread shortages. And they've called today Saturday D-Day, saying it's the day that the president and his government will have to go. Al Jazeera's Manel Fernandez is at those protests in front of the president's home in Colombo. She's on the line now. Manel, what's happening? Hello, Manel? No, I'm afraid we have lost Manel Fernandez. We'll try to re-establish contact with her and get her on the line again shortly. In the meantime, let's speak to Chayu Dhamsinghe, who's an economist at Frontier Research. He joins us now live from Colombo. What do you make of these extraordinary scenes as people literally break into the president's official residence?
It's very, very, definitely very strange news scenes for Sri Lanka. And a lot of Sri Lankans are sharing a view of hope at these scenes, because for the last few months, there's been a complete crisis of confidence in the country, in the country's economy, because of the way it's been handled and what's brought us here. And with the leadership that has essentially been refusing to move away from that thing and away from that leadership. So that has led to this huge issue. So there is now some sort of hope along a lot of people that change is can really happen. And once that change happens, once the heads at the helm of this really do change, there is some sense that, you know, policy change, policy reform can actually be implemented now and can actually be accepted by the people, that the pain that they're going through will be worth it for the reforms and the changes that will be coming in the future.
The protesters have dubbed today D-Day, the day that the president and the government have to go. Do you think that's going to happen anytime soon?
Well, the last time that the government, or rather the people, really protested, there was a big change. The prime minister left. The time before that, on the 31st of March, when again there was a huge upswelling of people's organic protest, a big change in governance, a big change in the people, actually the ministers, some of the key economic technocrats who left. So there have been changes in the past. So I personally do feel that it is looking increasingly likely that the president will have to take some sort of steps away. Now, you're seeing MPs from the president's own party calling for him to step down now. We're seeing the prime minister calling for some sort of new arrangement. And it seems likely that there is some change happening. You can't really ignore the people's voice when it's as loud as this, when it's as united as this. So I do think there is change coming. And it's up to us to hope and, you know, make sure that that change really do lead to an actual change in the policies, an actual change in reform.
How much of the blame for Sri Lanka's current economic woes do the president and his family bear here?
So Sri Lanka's economy was always quite fragile. We had issues with our budget deficits. We had issues with our current accounts for a while. But it's when the president, and part of those issues were exacerbated by policy decisions taken over the last 15, 20 years by the president's family, primarily his brother when he was in as president, that is Mahinda Rajapaksa. But over the last few years, as this government came in and this president came in, plenty of policy actions were taken that significantly worsened the underlying economic fragility of the country and made and really barreled the country down to where we are right now. That includes massive tax cuts when the country was already having low tax revenue, talked about printing trillions of rupees into the economy when tax revenue was low. You're talking about lots of these white elephant projects that didn't really add a lot to the economic potential of the country. So you had a lot of things. So I do think there's a significant part of the blame does go to the president and his family. Not all of it, of course. The country's underlying economic structural adjustments come from before them, but they definitely have a place in continuing that, perpetuating that, and also more recently making those problems significantly worse.
Earlier today, police fired tear gas at the protesters outside the president's home, but these protests have been largely violent-free, at least today. What can we read into that?
Well, the protests have, since the 31st of March, when this protest movement was really swelled up, there were protests before that as well, have been almost entirely nonviolent. There have been only one key instance where that changed, and that was on May 8th, when supporters of the prime minister, essentially government-backed groups, attacked those peaceful protesters, and there was quite a lot of pushback. So outside of that day and a lot of violence that did pop up that day, The protests in Sri Lanka have consistently, continuously been very peaceful. So I think it comes from the fact that these are very much pure run-of-the-mill, everyday Sri Lankans looking at what's happening to the economic situation and saying, I can't deal with this anymore. The people who brought us here have to go. There has to be some sort of change. And it's coming from that rather than any other form of organized or any other form of, you know, more violent elements coming in. So I think that more organic, more united nature of the protests do read into the fact that they have continuously, consistently been very non-violent, despite, of course, very heavy-handed response at times from the state.
Good to talk to you. So many thanks for being with us, Chayu Thamsinga there in Colombo. Let's bring in Al Jazeera's Manel Fernandez then, who's on the line from Colombo. She's outside the president's official residence. Manel, what's happening there?
People are considering extreme into the official residence, obviously, within the last groundswell of people could not be kept behind the barricade. They had vowed to come to Colombo to sit in, to surround the president's house and basically make him go. Now, he has been forced to flee that official residence. We're hearing that. We don't know where he has been evacuated to. And in the meantime, we're also hearing that the prime minister has now called for a special all-party leaders conference and asked for parliament to be summoned. Now, where I am, I mean, there are tens of thousands of people milling about. This is where you have the president's residence, the president's house, which are the president's official office, which is where for the last 3 months there has been this concerted and long-drawn campaign called Gota Go Home. And right now, the reason you're hearing me down the phone line is because the authorities seem to have jammed the data signal, so we can't actually send out video, live video. We're only restricted to the phone. But we hear that even some of the protesters are sampling the swimming pool in the president's official residence. And that's the extent to which people have sort of overrun that official residence, an old ancestral property. But people here are just letting into this pent-up emotion where they're absolutely fed up without food, without gas, without fuel, and saying enough is enough. We want our futures back.
Al Jazeera's Manel Fernandez there, reporting live from outside President Gotabaya Rajapaksa's residence in Colombo. Many thanks indeed, Manel.